It's been one of those fatherly mornings. I want to start out this morning. If we start looking at traits of fathers, what are the traits of fathers, good and bad? I just thought we'd take a few moments to kind of talk about that a little bit, respond and see who has some ideas of what are some of the good traits and some of the bad traits that we have experienced as fathers or our fathers have shown us. So what are some traits that you can think of?
Honesty.
Work ethics.
Yeah. What are some other traits that we think of when we think of our father?
Godly.
It's a good one.
Dependable.
Honorable. Boy, those are kind of some challenging things to live through, aren't they? To be able to kind of have and to be able to manage and to represent this thing on my ear. Am I alive?
Yes.
All right. We all think of a lot of different traits. I did a little bit of research and looked up some traits that I kind of come across. Here are some traits of fathers, positive traits. We have to be honest, all of us fathers aren't always really in those positive trait areas. But here are some: patient, moral, open-minded, loving, loyal, honest, leads by example, supportive, and encourages. Boy, it makes us look good as fathers, doesn't it? But then we have to start looking at sometimes the traits that we express that when we're not always where we should be. Sometimes we're harsh. Sometimes we're a cheater. And that's not just cheating on our spouses. Cheating on taxes, cheating in business, cheating on agreements that we make with people. Sometimes we kind of try to skirt that and try to manipulate things. And we really express ourselves as cheaters sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we're rigid. I'm not rigid though, am I, guys? You're supposed to say no, you hear me? Critical, disconnected, deceitful. Do as I say. You might know this, the rest of this. Do as I say, not as I do. Distant and judgmental. These are really, if we look at it, these really are traits of fathers. To be honest, we're not always where we should be. Sometimes we struggle a little bit. I want to share with you some very educated people come up with some traits, some five P's of fathers. This is Garrett Evans, a psychologist, a former assistant professor in clinical psychology, and Kate Fogarty, assistant professor in youth development, both of the Department of Family and Youth and Family and Community Services, Florida. This is getting long here. How would you put this on when you're saying putting out a title for something? This title has gotten pretty long. So we know that this person really knows their stuff, because look at this title. So we right away know they're very knowledgeable. They've come up with five basic traits: playmate, principled guide, provider, preparer, and participator or problem solver. And these are the traits that they identified that work for fathers. I want to run through these real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we're just going to run through these real quick so we can kind of understand what they're talking about. And again, these are really educated people. They really know their stuff, so we really should listen to them. Research shows that fathers spend more time proportionally with their children in high-energy physical play than do mothers. In addition, fathers tend to engage in more roughhousing and stimulated play than mothers. For example, using elements of surprise and excitement. I have something that I've always related to with how fathers and mothers are. mothers tell the child not to climb the tree, and fathers tell the kid to see how far out on that branch you can get before it breaks and you fall. And between the both of us, the kid learns how to climb a tree and stay safe. So we can see the balance, but us fathers kind of will do that, won't we? We'll kind of push it. See how far you can get out there. Through the role of playmate, a father can encourage his children's sense of autonomy and independence, which is a major milestone of social and emotional growth. Now let's look at the next one, principal guide. Fathers who serve as guides for their children maintain their authority, but use it effectively. Guidance is a collaborative effort between parent and child, which involves an ongoing process of father-child interaction. So there's this interaction, this connection between the two. Agreement between fathers and mothers and guidance strategies is important, particularly when it comes to learning consequences of unacceptable behavior. Boy, how many of us kind of get stumble there? I mean, do we really agree sometimes, fathers and mothers, how we can deal with this unacceptable behavior? Because sometimes we fathers kind of goad our children into some of that, don't we? We kind of nudge them and say, you know. So we've got to realize that this principal guide is an important part of our relationship. Let's move on to the next here. Provider. More than the provisional of material things, income, and resources for children and families, a father's provider role can be defined in terms of responsibility for care of the child. So a provider is not just about providing physical resources, but it's providing them with a lot of other things. I'm kind of liking these five P's. I think they're hitting pretty close. I actually think they're kind of done a good job. Let's look at prepare. Fathers often use themselves as someone involved in preparing their children for life's challenges, as well as protecting them when necessary. They may talk to their child about family issues and morals. Fathers may advise their teenagers about educational or employment goals, as well as give advice when asked for. I probably am weak there because I don't wait to always be asked, do I? About peer or romantic relationships. They may guide their children about how to behave in school and work to ensure their child's success in these areas. They may discuss the importance of being truthful, of giving an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, or showing their affection to a spouse. I really ran across this. This is kind of funny because talking about giving advice, yesterday while I was at work, I can't use my phone while I'm at work. We have to keep it in the back, so I kept it turned down. And Tyler called five times while I was at work. When I got off work, I saw five messages, and was like, I asked Sherry, I said, what's going on with Tyler? I said, he called five times. Did he lose a leg or something? And she said, no, he just wanted to talk to you. So we can start to see this interaction sometimes as we interact with our children. Prepare and problem solve. Being there for a child is more than physical presence, but helping to meet children's social, emotional, and physiological needs. Fathers talk about the importance of helping their child solve many of the critical problems of growing up. These can be the challenges of emerging adulthood, such as deciding what to do for a living, or what to do, where to go to college, whether to buy a car, or they should be everyday tasks, such as homework, fixing a bike, or hanging a swing from a tree. So here they've developed these five P's. I think they've done a pretty good job. The challenge with all of this is I found something a long time ago, and this made me realize that I'm pretty much a failure as a father. Because our image of God is generally, not absolute, but this is just a general rule, is generally based on our view of our father. Now, does that not carry some weight? Our image of God is generally based on our view of our Father. So our relationship with our Father really is a foundation with our relationship with God. It's how we start building on that. That's a challenge, isn't it? You know, these really fancy and important and educated people really took them 2,000 years to figure out all of these five P's for fathers, right? Do you know someone else did this 2,000 years ago? There was one person that kind of changed some things. He taught us how to talk to our Heavenly Father. Before Jesus came, God was not looked as a father, not a father figure at all. He was more distant, more disconnected, this overpowering thing, sometimes this judgmental God. And Jesus came and he taught us something a little bit different. And I want you to look at the Lord's Prayer, and I hope that you will look at it differently from now on. Because as we step through these five P's, it's all in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus said, look to God as like your father, not as a gender, but as a role, that role of father. And that we can be connected to him, that we can have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Next, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. This means that God is guiding us. He's preparing us for what's going to happen here on earth, but also what's going to happen in heaven. So he becomes our preparer, our principal guide, our provider. Give us this day our daily bread. You see how this is just stepping right through it. And forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. He's preparing us, getting us ready. And at the very last, the problem solver. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, isn't that amazing? The hero of Jesus was, and he said, we look at God as our Father. And he brings this relationship that we can have. So if we're not bound by earthly fathers, we are now connected to our Heavenly Father. And so we have this different relationship and these different traits of fathers. We can start looking at God instead of our flawed human fathers. We can start connecting to our Godly Father. Now here's something, something I put together a few years ago. Have any of you heard, you know, we have a lot of different translations in the Bible, right? NIV, KJV, NRSV, all these different ones. Well, this is a little different version. This is Robert's Amplified Version, okay? So bear with me as I look at this and I look at the Amplified Version of Ephesians 6, 1 through 13. And I hope that we can look at this maybe in a different way. And this is a little lighthearted, so take it lighthearted. But there's also some truths in all of this. So let's start going through. It says, children, obey. And I added, and understand the verb is present tense. Your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yes, we meant what we said. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise and the keys to the car. So that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth and in the homes you take for granted. Can you understand how I've amplified this? And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It doesn't say that we can't annoy them to get evil. Slaves, husbands. Okay, we're having fun, right? Obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as you obey Christ, not only while being watched, because they always seem to know. Don't they, guys? They just always seem to know. And in order to please them, because sometimes there's just no pleasing them. Can you see that? my amplified version that's going in here. But as slaves of Christ, do the will of God from the heart. Render service with enthusiasm, yes, fear, as to the Lord and not to men, which is easy, and women, which is very difficult, knowing that whatever good we do, we will receive the same again from the Lord only, whether we are slaves or free, but only on Sunday afternoon, okay? Yes, I'm going to pay the price for this when I get home. And let's go on. And masters, wives, do the same to them. Stop threatening them. Yes, you do this. Stop trying to look innocent. For you know that both of you have the same master in heaven, and with him there is no partiality, unlike our homes where we come in last. Any of y'all relating with some of this? Connecting? Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Teenagers. Now this you can understand, right? You can relate to that. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our children, ages 12 to 24. Once they get past that 24, it starts to settle down. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day our daughter's wedding. How many of you have stood there at your daughter's wedding, and it is the heaviest burden that you carry? And having done everything to stand firm, knowing that one day we will be grandparents and we will get even for all the things our children did. So I hope that you just took that as a bit of fun and a little lightheartedness. But sometimes Scripture can speak to us in a lot of different unique ways. But going back to fathers, these are some things that I learned. And these were some hard lessons. Because I am a really strong doer. I can do and get busy and do a lot of things. But I learned this early on. Fathers will receive their due after they have paid their dues. Think about this. We will receive our due after we paid our dues. Well, what is paying our dues? Quality time comes after quantity time. This was the hardest lesson for me to learn, that I had to spend quantity time with my family in order to really get quality time. And it may not be as prevalent here, but in a lot of urban settings, people are so busy and they're working so hard that sometimes they just think, oh, well, I have the weekend. I'm going to spend some quality time with my kids. You can do that, but don't expect that that is going to be a foundation. You've got to spend quantity time with them. You can't have quality time without having quantity time. Be comes before D. Be before do. And this is a challenge for people like me that like to stay busy and work real hard. And I've had to stop and slow down and realize that I've got to spend time with them. So if I'm going to do something, I need to bring them along. And I'm not successful in this all the time. The boys will tell you. Sometimes I just say, get out of my way. I got to get something done, right? Yeah. Are we demanding or earning respect? Now, this is a question for us fathers that's important to look at. And one thing I want you to think about is removing yourself from the role of biological father. You may be a father figure for someone. You may be taking on a role of helping to lead, prepare, and guide them in life. And we may be a father figure to someone we don't even realize often that we're being that to. And it takes a while because, again, that quantity time is what will tell us. But are we demanding or earning respect? How are we going about getting respect from our family and from our children? Sometimes we try to demand it, but we need to earn it. Why? Because what happens is our relationship with God is based on our image of our Father. So what image of God are we giving our children? What image are we projecting to them? There's days I absolutely fail at this. And I'm not up here preaching today because I got all the answers. I'm preaching up here today because I got a lot of experience. And a lot of it is in failure. Some of it is in victory. But what image of God are we projecting? And this is a real challenge. And so I want to encourage us to think about this as we relate to our families today, and not just today, but ongoing, being with our families. What are we projecting? What role, what image of God are we sharing with them? Now, there's people that overcome their images of fathers because their fathers are not good images at all, and they're able to build a relationship with God. But it gets a little harder for them. So what can we do to help with that? By being a better image of the positive traits that God brings to us instead of the negative. And I like this little cartoon right here, because how many of us fathers have kind of been there? Don't make me come down there. Is God talking? But what did he do? He did come down. Because that relationship is so important that he brought us a bridge to build that connection. Join me in prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, we thank you for the love, the kindness, the encouragement, the blessing that you give us. Forgive us when we fall short in reflecting those images to others. Help us to be godly fathers, to reflect you in our relationships with our children, with our families, and those that we encounter. Remind us that our role is important because it is emulating you. Empower us to be better representatives of your love, joy, and peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.